Let's get to him. He's holding onto the line here and had to wait for Travis Green. But it is Will Scouch who joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Scouching, NHL draft analyst with McKean's, and also does great work on his own YouTube channel and also the Chasing High Danger podcast. Will, what's going on? How are you?
I am doing extremely well. It's a beautiful, warm day here in southern Ontario. How are you?
Oh yeah, we're look. It's always beautiful out here on the West Coast, but we're dealing with the demise, potential demise of the season for the Vancouver Canucks. And so, you know, we shift our eyes, not completely, but it's only right to start gazing at the 2021 NHL entry draft, which you do fine work covering and scouting all these guys. Has this season been a bit more challenging? I know you do a lot more data based and video based, anyways. But has this season been different at all for you?
I mean, it's been a little bit different. The biggest change is that I like to space out my samples of games. So I track manual data for guys around the world. And with guys jumping between leagues in places like Sweden or guys jumping overseas to start playing in January, it makes it tough for me to space out my samples enough where I'm more comfortable. But that's really the only challenge. I mean, I have great capabilities of pulling video thanks to McKean's, and you know, there's a whole bunch of resources that I have accessible, so it allows me to do my work. So personally, I feel pretty prepared, relatively speaking, especially relative to previous years. I have more data than I did last year already, so it's an exciting year in a sense for me, because it allows me to, you know, do more work and just keep casting a wider net. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, kind of business as usual, considering how much I do just from my computer.
You know, as you say, you do a lot with video and a lot with data, but even with those tools, you know, there's a lot of prospects, Will, that just haven't played nearly the number of games that they would have in past seasons. So do you find maybe that you're a little bit less certain this year than in past years, just because, you know, the raw data isn't as bountiful as it might have been in previous seasons?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing for me is there are certain cases of players who barely have played. It is already very clear to me that, especially for guys who haven't played in a long time, like say a Francesco Pinelli, the first game I watched of him was one of his first five games he played over in Slovenia, and he looked awful. And I was ready to write him off, but you know, you watch him a little bit more and he starts getting his feet going and up to that sort of competitive level. Then you start to see what was sort of there last year. So there is a pretty big latency period. I mean, I kind of have to, you know, if I'm thinking from the perspective of a team, I have to accept that this year is going to be a little bit bizarre. It's going to be a bit nutty. Weird things are going to happen. You know, we're going to look back on this draft. Some teams are going to, you know, strike out, I think. Some teams are going to hit gold. I feel if you focus primarily on the guys who do have a sizable sample of what's out there, not only is that the majority of players, but you can still, I think, get some good value out of the draft if you just sort of keep your thinking simple and just don't try to over-anticipate what, you know, the players who have played less might be hiding because they haven't played.
Let's get into what the 2021 draft might look like. You know, we've heard different reports and many draft analysts looking at this and saying it's not as flush as maybe last year or a year before as far as depth in the class. But what is the strength of this upcoming class?
Well, the strength of this class, I think, is, and especially from the perspective of a team like Vancouver, I think that what it lacks is real elite sort of franchise altering talent that we've been kind of, you know, we've seen a lot of in the last couple of seasons. But what there is, I think, is a pretty sizable amount of really useful players. I don't think you're going to draft an Owen Power or Matthew Beniers or whatever and totally transform your team overnight. You know, maybe you have yourself a franchise goalie in Jesper Wallstedt one day, you know, but there's a few players who I think, you know, maybe a really good second pair defenseman, or maybe a solid top pair defenseman, or a good top six offensive contributor here and there. I think there are some really interesting projects that you can draft and let develop over the next few years, especially in Europe this year, that have been playing almost the entire season, or at least playing enough, that I think extends into sort of the middle of the second round-ish. But, I mean, I can't, you know, last year I felt pretty confident about, I'd say 3 to 4 rounds of guys where there's a really long list of players where you can really sell a scouting director on something. Whereas this year, I think you're really starting to run out of solid case studies around the end of the second round-ish. Beyond that, you're just kind of taking swings on who you like. So in that sense, it's a little shallower. But I also think that, you know, there are some guys where if they hit that ceiling, you know, that there's a lot of headroom to work with that I think, you know, kind of the lack of elite talent, I think, warps the public thinking of what's available in the draft. But I do think that this draft is not terrible, like some are saying.
And, you know, one of the storylines with this draft so far, Will, is that there's no clear-cut, obvious number one pick like we see frequently, not every year, but we often see that in the NHL draft. And, you know, in that situation, how high would you say that kind of first tier of players, or how big is that first tier of players? Is it, you know, there's 5 guys who are kind of in their own tier, 6, 7, 8? How deep is that number one tier of guys for you?
Yeah, for me, I think that group is about 5 or 6 names. And I think that if you wanted to extend that to, you know, if I was in a room full of people and discussing, I think there's about 10 or 11 names that legitimately you could make some kind of a case for, you know, whether it's, yeah, the player is not at this level now, but in 3 or 5 years, maybe they could get there. In terms of objectively looking at players that how they're playing now, I'd feel pretty comfortable about 5 or 6 names by pushing one or the other. But I'd say there's another 4 or 5 where, assuming they, you know, hit their stride, hit their ceiling, you know, everything kind of goes right, they could turn out to be the best player in the draft. But it's, you know, those guys I feel like are a bit more of a long shot relative to what's being shown by those guys at the top.
It's interesting too, Will, because the last couple of years, we've seen a greater emphasis on, you know, centers and D-men jump up, especially at the high end of the draft, right? And your Barrett Haytons of the world, your Kirby Docks get drafted, right? And it slides some wingers down. And you look at the wingers in this class, like, I'm kind of interested in Eklund. And I'm just curious, like, where you are with him. And is positional importance playing a role in drafts more so than we've seen?
Well, I'm talking to someone in Vancouver, and through the lens of Vancouver, I mean, I've been looking at you got what you've drafted and what's in the pipeline and who's young on the team. And I think Vancouver's in a good position because they have flexibility, right? Like their center position in the NHL right now is mostly good at the top end, you know, Bo Horvat, Elias Pettersson, that's rock solid 1-2, but you can always use more centers, and especially if they can play the wing as well. But, you know, I look at their wingers. I think they've drafted some good wingers recently. Obviously, Pod Colson is a notable one. You know, but I think you always, again, have more room for offensive wingers, especially in Vancouver. Defense might be another direction you could go. The only direction I don't think they would go is with a guy like Jesper Wallstedt and Nett. But outside of that, I think it's a free-for-all. So in that sense, I think positional importance for Vancouver, for example, I don't think really matters. And assuming it's, say, the 4th or 5th or 6th overall pick, I think there's going to be a great player available there. And if it is a William Eklund or a Fabian Liesel or a Kent Johnson or something, I could easily see them just going, let's go for offense on this and go for the fun sort of scoring players, you know. But I do think that people are going to see this draft as very defense heavy, and I wouldn't disagree. But I think that when people see it that way, you're going to see names like Owen Power and Luke Hughes potentially. Really, you know, even a Carson Lambos go pretty high in the draft where, you know, I don't dislike those players, but I certainly think that, you know, you might be able to capitalize on a really, really talented player like a William Eklund, like you brought up, who I'm a very big fan of. He's at 4th on my list right now. If he were to sort of slip a little bit in the draft, you know, one or two picks, that might be enough for the Canucks to snag him. And, I mean, you put William Eklund on a line with a bit of a lower-paced player who still is a tremendous hockey player in Elias Pettersson or something, you know, you might have a very dangerous pair of players who might be able to play together, or even a Fabian Liesel if you want to make a bit of a reach. I mean, I think there's some good talent available for the Canucks depending on where they draft, and I think for them they have the benefit of a good prospect pipeline in multiple areas that allows them to say, you know, it'd be nice to have more centers, but it also would be nice to have more wingers, but it would also be nice to have more defense. And so they can kind of poke around and just sort of pick the best player that sort of falls to their slot.
Will, one of the names that's jumped out to me as I've started to dig into to prepping for the draft is the defenseman Brant Clark. And, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts about him as a prospect generally, but also, you know, we talked about the different circumstances this year, and this is a guy who, instead of playing juniors here in Canada, went over to Europe. He's playing in Slovakia, playing in a men's league. You know, how much more difficult does it make to scout and evaluate a player when they're also adjusting to completely new circumstances and maybe not getting the same opportunities that they would be if they were playing, say, in college or in junior?
Yeah. Well, Brant Clark is an interesting one because he was one of the first, if I'm recalling correctly, he was one of the first young players to just sort of say, you know, I'm going away. And he disappeared to Slovakia. I mean, I've tracked him quite a few times already this year in his Slovakian games. I think there was a big adjustment period for him. It was obviously it's a new league, new ice sheet, new teammates, new country, new everything. And I think that there was an adjustment period for him. He said it himself in a few interviews I've seen where, you know, line mates weren't really familiar with his playing style, and his playing style is very unique relative to typical Slovakian hockey. So sort of the team adjusting to him and his talent in that area was a bit of an adjustment. But it, through all of that, I mean, I've come out with some really interesting sort of thoughts on Brant Clark. You know, for him specifically, I think when you have guys like Quinn Hughes and even a Joni Jurmo, who was the top pick that Vancouver made last year, you know, they seem to like defensemen with that sort of aggressive, you know, offensive leaning direction, and Brant Clark is more of that, and I honestly don't think that's a bad thing if it is the guy that Canucks want. I see him, and I see in the offensive zone, I don't think there's a better defenseman in terms of, you know, working the blue line, stepping up into the offensive zone, creating offense, you know, creating shot attempts for his team. Owen Power might be right up there with him a little bit, but I also find that when you take any player out of junior and put them in a European pro league, it doesn't really, to me, from my experience watching a bunch of European pro hockey, it doesn't really matter the country, the pace of play in those leagues and the experience level and the size and the strength of these grown men does have an effect. There's the pace is much higher. You can't get away with a lot as much. So when I see Brant Clark, he's a guy who's not completing as many passes as I thought he would. He's down around 60-65% on most nights, but he's passing the puck a lot. So, you know, this is a guy who's trying to run offensive transitions, but he's not gaining and maintaining control on a lot of them. But when the puck gets in the offensive zone, he can be an absolute wizard. You know, defensively, I've found him to be pretty solid. He's mobile. He can move laterally. There's a nice fundamental baseline. I don't see him as a defenseman who chases offense all night and is a liability in his own end. I think he's a nice balance. And I expect him to be tremendous once he comes back to Barrie. But in terms of in the draft, I could easily see him be a guy that might maybe slip a little bit in the draft, especially with how he's performed in Slovakia. But, I mean, if that's the guy who the Canucks want to capitalize on and get another offensive defenseman who is at his best in the offensive zone and creating, I would have absolutely no problem with that.
Will Scouch, who does NFL draft coverage for McKean's and also the host of the Chasing High Danger podcast. Will, we got one question for you here. We'll do this as we continue to talk to you leading up to the draft. So if you have questions, send them in 650-650. This one is, why is Sean Behrens the best D-man in the 2021 draft?
Oh, goodness. Well, I've seen him play quite a bit. He's definitely in the same sort of vein as a Brant Clark, where in the offensive zone, he's a ton of fun to watch and he can create offense pretty well. Not a guy, I think, on the NTDP that I'm thinking about in the same range, and I don't think I'd put him first-round guy, but he's not too far back, I suppose.
It is Will Scouch. Again, you can check his stuff out, High Danger, Chasing High Danger podcast, and does great work with the Keens as well. Tomorrow, though, Will, you continue your series online. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so Twitter at Scouching, as well as on YouTube at Scouching. There's, you know, we just started the new season of Scouching Report, so the second one's coming out this week. We've got two more in production tonight. Tomorrow night, we do live streams every Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern time or 6:30 Pacific time. So come by, you can ask as many questions as you like, and we always try to have a good time every Wednesday night.
Well, looking forward to this. We're going to be talking to you plenty over the next couple of months. So thanks a lot for starting this, and we'll talk to you soon, man.